You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, February 15th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Fantastic game last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. Unfortunately, the Warriors come on the losing end of that game. Kevin Durant was absolutely incendiary, 50 points, and watching the broadcast with Bill Walton and Doris Burke was absolutely a treat, and Dave Pasch, who's all right. You know, I don't hate Dave Pasch, but definitely really fun, definitely way better than Dick Vitale and Mark Jackson on the call with Ryan Rucco in the first game, and the Celtics losing another game and going down in the East yet again. But the stories about the Warriors going into the All-Star break with the second seed instead of the first seed, I've got my best friend and longtime Warriors fan here, Gabriel Holland, to discuss the game in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to go back in time. We're going to talk about All-Star games past, just kind of like the experience of growing up watching the games. And then the third segment, we're going to come back to the Warriors. We're going to talk about the ramifications of going into the All-Star break with the second seed instead of the first seed. And we're going to just get into general All-Star and NBA talk. How you doing, Gabe?
I'm doing well, my man. Good to be with you today.
Yeah, very exciting to have you here. And, you know, we got to watch this game together last night. It's still fresh in our minds. From the first thing, the first thing that really stood out to me the first quarter, the turnovers.
Definitely. Just a constant struggle with the Warriors. Something that they're constantly trying to fight against. And
Are they trying to fight against it, though? Like, sometimes it's just lazy. It feels lazy.
Lots of dumb, unnecessary passes.
Plays of insanity, as Steve Kerr would say.
Yeah, definitely. They slowed it down a little bit after the first, but still too many.
Yes, still too many. Going down 19 points in the first quarter, 20 points, however many they went down in the first quarter, is no bueno. And that was on the back of six, seven turnovers, something like that, in the first. And, of course, fittingly, the last play of the game, a turnover.
Not much more to say about that.
Yeah, not much more to say about that. But I do
want great game by Durant, though.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Durant. But first, I want to plug my stuff today. On Forbes.com, we're going to get a story about the NBA and its partners and what they're doing for the Los Angeles community and what they're doing for people who are coming to see the All-Star festivities. There is a ton of NBA partner activation happening all throughout Los Angeles. Then I also wanted to plug Gabriel Holland, who manages the bar at the Star on Park Street in Alameda. If you haven't been to the Star, they have the best deep dish pizza in the East Bay. Well, no, they don't, because Zachary's has the best deep dish pizza in the East Bay. It's a tough one.
It's debatable.
He's shaking his head over here. The pizza is very, very good. So hit up the Star on Park, the Star on Grand, and there's some in San Francisco as well that are kind of affiliated. And and he makes a mean Sazerac, so hit him up. But yeah, we're back, and we're going to talk about Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant was absolutely special last night.
Really, it's unfortunate that last second three, he happened to be out of bounds. That was such a beautiful shot.
It was a beautiful shot. But he's got enormous feet, so, you know, what are you going to do? It's just another one where it's, like, fitting that it, like, turns on a turnover, though. You know, it's just, like, all of the amazing things that the Warriors are able to do, and then they shoot themselves in the foot with these turnovers. But we can get into some actual stats as well. Kevin Durant, as we mentioned, had 50 points to go along with 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 turnovers. Stephen Curry had 7 turnovers to go along with his 17 points, 3 steals. I think he had 4 steals. I don't think that's right. I think he had 4 steals. 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 rebounds on the offensive end. So 2 of the 8 rebounds on the offensive end that the Warriors got, and Draymond got 3 of them as well. And, you know, some all-around, all-right stats, but then you look at the turnovers. Only 16 on the night, but in key situations, Gabe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, starting off on the wrong foot, and then, yeah, you know, the Blazers go no turnovers in the fourth quarter, and we end the game on one, so.
Yeah, end the game on a few. And they were just, they were untimely. They were live ball turnovers for the most part, and they led to runouts and open three-point shots. The Warriors didn't do a superb job defending the three-point line tonight, specifically with Damian Lillard. And how can you stop Damian Lillard? We're going to get to him. But first, I want to talk about these lineups that we saw. No big men, really, in the second half.
Yeah, definitely. David West pretty much getting the bulk of the job at center. You know, and then splitting with Draymond Green down there as well. It was kind of fun to see Nick Young in there instead of
But he didn't provide much.
Right. It was unfortunate, you know, missed some open opportunities that he would have made a big difference.
Yeah, you know, they would have made a big difference. I thought you said that he would have normally made, and it's just one of those things. Like, does he normally make them, or like, is it just like feast or famine with that guy?
Swaggy P of old would have made them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're talking about wide open shots. We're talking about wide open shots. But let's get to Dame. We're in the letter O for Oakland, and he did it all for the Portland Trailblazers tonight.
He was just ridiculously hot, unstoppable. Contested shots, open shots. Getting fouled.
Yeah, a lot of free throws for Dame tonight. Only 4 of 11 from three, but he was 12 of 12 from the line, and that's how you get to 44 points on only 25 shots. You know, especially when you're not super efficient from the 3-point line. But he was 14 of 25 from the field overall. Had 8 assists as well, but 4 turnovers. Only 13 turnovers for the game for the Blazers. And 16 for the game, which is not that many, but they came at bad times for the Golden State Warriors. They came in the first quarter to push them down by 19 points, and then late in the fourth to kind of solidify the game for the Blazers.
Then McCollum with a positive stat line as well, 29, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, but...
quiet, you know, 29.
Yeah, I mean, overshadowed by Dame for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. 26 shots. He took one more shot than Dame Lillard. And I would have never known that from watching this game, that he took 26 shots. That's how sneaky good he is. And I think that's why part of the reason is the Blazers just haven't been good enough. They play in a small market, but he gets passed over the last few years for the All-Star team.
Definitely. And shout out to Nurkic coming up big late in the game as well. Getting offensive rebounds and those second chance 5 points.
5 big offensive rebounds for Yusuf. Another lineup, though, that I wanted to check out was that kind of like all defense lineup that they had, like in the second quarter, where it was like Clay, Andre, Sean Livingston, along with Draymond and David West. Yeah. And Doris Burke mentioned that was the man for man, just like the best defensive lineup in the league, and I'm not sure what metric she was using. I'm going to have to go and search in the annals of lineups to find which metric she was using, but it's probably defensive rating, and if that's the case, then I want to see that lineup more often, and we are seeing it more often. Clay and Draymond are sharing minutes earlier in the second quarter, and KD and Steph are sharing the minutes late in the first, late in the third, and then they all come together late in the second and late in the fourth. But what did you see from that lineup tonight? I thought they were superb.
Well, defensively, as Doris Burke said, it was they locked down the Blazers as well as possible. And then offensively, you've got a bunch of guys that know how to cut and know how to pass, and can also stretch the floor enough that the lanes aren't clogged when people do cut. So
it was nice having Klay Thompson out there just, you know, chucking 30-footers occasionally and just draining them.
Right, you know, making the defense have to guard that three-point line and kind of sag towards him a little bit away from David West, who got an open jumper or two.
Mm-hmm. Can't leave him.
Can't leave him. And then Draymond had, what, one or two threes?
I think he just had one.
One that he made.
Yeah. which is nice. It's nice when Draymond makes a three. We feel good. It's nice when Andre makes a three. Would have been nice to see that happen tonight. He didn't attempt one, so I guess, you know, we didn't lose anything. But, you know, when you say stretch the floor, Andre's really the key to that. If his shot is falling, then that lineup is very powerful. And if his shot is not, if he's not taking shots, then you've got him and Sean Livingston, who are, like, hesitant to shoot from the outside. But Sean is not scared of shots. Let me not say that. But, you know, then you really have Clay as the focal point from, you know, on the perimeter, and it's tough to be the focal point, but he did pretty well tonight.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't his best game. Definitely thought he was going to be bigger.
Yeah.
Tonight, just from jump.
Definitely, it was his hometown for a long time. I thought he would play better. I thought Steph would play better. I called a Stephen Curry game, but instead we got a Durant game. And you know the difference, I guess, between a Stephen Curry game and a Kevin Durant game is that it doesn't really matter that Kevin Durant scored 50 because we still lost the game. And you know what really led to the loss? 16, like we can talk 16 turnovers, not that many. The problem is they allowed 40 points in the first quarter off those turnovers, and then an additional 31 in the fourth off of some really bad decisions late in the game. And it was, I would say, even though there were only 16 turnovers, it was turnovers that shot the Warriors in the foot. The defense could have been better, as we've seen with the Portland Trail Blazers shooting 48%, but only 12 of 33 from three. And a lot of those were just really tough shots. And so, you know, I blame the turnovers.
Yeah, the turnovers were definitely an issue. And just giving up 60 points in each half really is just uncharacteristic of the Warriors. And
In each half. You're absolutely right. Yeah, they do play better in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going 63-60, I think, is just not... That 40-point first quarter and then, you know, ending the game with two consecutive turnovers to just pretty much seal the deal.
Name of the game for the Warriors. And we're going to have to take a break there for our sponsors. And we're back and we're going to talk All-Star Game. We're going to talk growing up watching the All-Star Game. When I was a little kid, I didn't used to have cable and the All-Star Game would always come on cable. And I would just, not a little kid, but, you know, when I was older, you know, 13, 14, whatever, I would love to go to my friend's house and watch the All-Star Game. I was always like, oh, man, like, who's going to be playing it? Because it was on TNT. And, you know, my guys, I mean, I loved T-Mac back in the day. I had a pair of T-Macs. And, you know, I remember they had those seasons. They had some awful jerseys, but there were a few seasons where they wore their own team's jerseys. It looked so weird, especially when they were in the Western Conference and the Lakers' jerseys would be gold, but everybody else's would be white. It was so dumb.
Yeah, I definitely remember those odd jerseys, and I had a pair of T-Vax myself growing up together.
Growing up together, yeah. Wait, when did you have T-Vax?
I had the threes.
Oh, I had the twos.
Yeah.
I had the twos.
Yeah. White and blue.
White and blue. That was the main color. They brought them back. They kind of like brought the design back, Adidas, last year. I thought they were cool, but, you know, they're not. I mean, everything is so avant-garde now. And I think that James Harden's shoe kind of evokes the T-Mac a little bit, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say that I like the Hardens, though. Like, they're just...
They're just okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just okay. I'm sure they're a fine basketball shoe, but I wouldn't really wear them as a lifestyle shoe or like an out shoe. Speaking of shoes, like, who in the shoe game are you feeling right now? I know, you know, we've talked about our Jordans and everything, you know, which Jordans we like the most. I'm a fives guy myself. I know that you like the threes and a few others.
Yeah, I like the threes, the fours, the 12s.
12s. Gotta love the 12s.
Gotta love the ones.
Yes.
Interesting to see Justin Timberlake rocking the Tinker Hatfield threes with the Nike logo, the swoosh on them during the halftime game.
Interesting. I did not notice that. That is a keen eye by Gabriel Holland.
Yeah, no, they're. I guess they just released them, so we'll see how they do. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to some of the shoes that we can expect to see in this game. You know, Klay Thompson just released a new colorway called the China Red, which I could totally see him rocking in his black Jordan jersey. And they're very cool. And he's in this commercial, such a dumb commercial. You guys should go find it on Twitter or on whatever, where he is basically like being directed by this Chinese director to smile. And he just can't smile. He just doesn't do it right. And then that's the commercial. It's so dumb, so awkward. It's
kind of an ode to the old ESPN commercials with Tim Duncan.
Oh yeah, the game, like, face. It's not a game face, Tim. It's just a blank stare. It's
your everyday face.
It's the everyday face. But man, growing up and watching the All-Star game, it was always one of my favorite things, especially as a Dubs fan, you know, because we didn't have All-Stars.
Definitely. One more thing on the shoes. It was pretty funny to hear a random fan asking Clay where he could buy those.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious. I tweeted about that. You can get the shoes at FamujiSneaker.com. Write it down. FamujiSneaker.com. They will ship from China or probably Japan. Just, you know, you can't get them in America. So they're exclusive.
Pretty funny. Just gotta love microphones.
They yes. It was awesome. But anyway, yeah, I did tweet about that. That was my one tweet for the game because I don't tweet during games. I know a lot of these guys, they're tweeting constantly during the game. I can't watch the game if I'm tweeting during the game. I just can't do it.
Don't blame me for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. But you can't build up your brand when you're not tweeting, you know? And so I'm stuck between, you know, a rock and a hard place. The rock being basketball. That's the joke.
Double on.
Yeah. Double. Nice. Yeah. Wordplay. Yeah. Wordplay. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, back to All-Stars. What are you expecting from this All-Star game? And, you know, what about the All-Star game to you has evolved the most to where it's very good and has devolved the most since we were kids, you know, to where it's become very bad?
I mean, I actually enjoyed watching the actual game itself more when I was younger than I do now. Now I'm way more about the all the different events, the three-point shooting contest. The dunk contest has been good and bad in recent years.
Yeah, if they don't make it on the first try, I'm sorry, that's not a 10. You can't give somebody a 10 if they don't make it on the first try.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And the skills challenge is kind of fun, I guess. It's not...
It's stupid and it doesn't have anybody in it good this year.
But yeah, I mean, I think the All-Star game itself has kind of lost me a little bit. Hopefully, you know, with these teams being drawn up pickup style, like maybe it could be pretty interesting.
How would that have worked back in the day with like Rasheed Wallace and that would have been fun with, you know, Shaq and those guys.
It definitely could have been very, very
interesting. Everybody's friends now.
Right, right. I mean, you probably just wouldn't... There'd be certain lines that just wouldn't have been crossed, you know? What, I believe KD and Westbrook are back together.
KD and Westbrook are back together. Yeah, on LeBron's team.
On LeBron's team.
Mm-hmm. That's a storyline that's flying under the radar. KD and Westbrook, not teammates again. And, you know, that should be a good one. But we're back in time right now, so I want to ask you, you know, do you have any All-Star moments that stick out to you from, you know, watching them in the past where you were just like, wow?
Oh, man.
And that's the problem with the All-Star, right? Is that they're all so amazing that it's just, oh, there's no defense. So you can't remember one specific play that really just like stuck out, but obviously T-Mac, going back to T-Mac, that dunk off the backboard, you know, in the, what was it, 04? Yeah, right. I can't even remember. Everybody remembers that move, though.
Right, right. Definitely remember the move. And like, there's definitely moments that I haven't forgotten, like, you know, Shaq going between his legs from the three-point line.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Aristotle.
Yes. I'm actually, I'm having a conversation with him tomorrow. Stay tuned, y'all. I have another story for Forbes.com coming out hopefully at the end of the weekend about American Express and its partnership with the Warriors. I get to have a conversation with the big Aristotle. So stay tuned for my quotes from that. And, you know, I'll talk to you on Friday about what it was like talking to Shaq because, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to resist the urge to just not to crack up just at hearing him talk on the phone because he's going to be talking like this. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
It's going to be very fun. You know what's also fun is talking to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Podcasts are hot right now, and the Locked On Podcast Network is right in the thick of it. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your company's target demographic, definitely send me an email at alikocarter11@gmail.com. That's alikocarter11@gmail.com. I'll give you all the details. Our rates are super reasonable, and you have nothing to lose. So get at me. All right, and we're back, and we're going to go around the NBA, and we just started talking about the Rockets. And they are, you know, streaking. They have a 10-game win streak going into the All-Star break. They are in possession of the number one overall seed. And yeah, Gabe's shaking his head a little bit. I'm shaking my head too, brother.
Man, it's just not what I expected to have happen at this part of the season. I figured by now we would have gotten things together a little bit, but you know,
it's been a month and a half of pretty ugly basketball, turning the ball over, and or poor defense.
Definitely. And with Steve Kerr, you know, pretty much admitting that he thinks the team is like checked out and ready for the All-Star break to happen, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised that we kind of like stumbled our way into it. But
yeah,
like you said, hopefully us losing that number one spot will be motivation for us coming
right
out of the break.
Does Houston need any motivation? I mean, they are just on all cylinders right now.
Well, they just love seeing the fact that they have to love seeing the fact that they're better than us right now.
Yeah. And have been better than us two of the last of the three meetings this season and own the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the first game of the season was kind of whatever. How the Warriors have started.
Yeah. And then still it took a last second shot for it to be, you know, that would be a very exciting conference finals. I think it would be very fun. The question is home court important to the Warriors? What do you think?
No. I think if you, granted this past road trip hasn't been the best, but if you look at how well we play on the road consistently year after year, I don't think it's as important in Houston as it might be in like maybe like a healthy Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Or Boston, if we make it to the finals.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But, I think not a big deal in Houston.
Yeah, yeah. So I was looking at the stats yesterday, and was taking a look at home versus road splits. And the Warriors' statistics are fairly identical as far as effective field goal shooting and defensive effective field goal shooting across the board at home and on the road for the season. Is there anything to that, you think?
I think it's just a mindset for them, just how they play. And I think it's probably a little bit easier for them to emotionally get up for road games than home games.
Mm.
'Cause
waiting for the crowd to boost them up.
Yeah, you know, like, there's also something, like, an energy that you feel when everybody's against you.
Yeah.
So when you walk into somebody else's place and they want to see you lose, then you kind of get a little extra juice. A
lot of Dubs fans in the audience tonight, though.
True. Definitely heard some cheering over...
A lot of cheering.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we did discuss that game, and we can continue to do that. But first, you know, I want to go back around the NBA and talk about the Celtics as well, because the Celtics just lost, another big game against the Los Angeles Clippers. And that was, now they're three games down in the loss column, you know.
Yeah, to the Raptors. And it's weird that the Celtics are losing these games. I had them picked to be that number one seed pretty fairly easily. Can never count LeBron out. You know, they're going to make a good push towards the end of the season.
And they are making it.
And they are. We'll see how the new young Cavaliers midseason can create some synergy together.
Yeah, and they are creating synergy. And you know who else is creating synergy is the Jazz, who also are on a streak, an 11-game winning streak now, and are pushing into the playoff conversation in the Western Conference. Donovan Mitchell, fun player to watch.
Oh my gosh, he's explosive.
Yeah. Dunk contest.
That would be great.
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Another team to look at is the Bucks surging to the third seed post their Jason Kidd firing. And things are looking good in Milwaukee.
That came as a total surprise for me.
Yeah. Well, Jabari Parker is back now, too. And I didn't get a chance to see him play, but I am excited to see what this team can do with him. And I hope that Malcolm Brogdon's injury doesn't keep him out too long.
Definitely. I think that Jabari is going to be a great player. There's really no keeping him down. He's so mentally tough going through all these injuries and coming out.
Isn't this his third ACL recovery?
Yeah, yeah. And he managed to come out the first two looking just as explosive as before. Yeah. I don't see this being any different. They definitely are going to benefit from getting him back.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. But, you know, back to All-Star. You know, are you Team LeBron or are you Team Steph?
Well, I got to go with Steph.
Yeah. So that means Kevin Durant's going to lose.
Yeah, well, yeah, no.
You know.
Picked by the wrong guy.
He got picked by the wrong guy. And who wins the All-Star MVP? Does Steph take it home for Team Steph?
Look, I mean, I'm rooting for Steph, but I'm leaning LeBron winning. both the MVP and the game. Yeah. Unfortunately.
He has a better team. even after all the injuries.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun to watch, though. Steph's got some shooters. LeBron has some shooters. But Bron's team seems a little more athletic.
Yeah. Yeah. A little more athletic, a little bigger. A little bigger. Yeah. And, you know, but Curry and his team, they have the flair for the dramatic that I think we're going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting to see, but it should be a really fantastic game. Before we end this podcast, I want to give you some rapid fire stuff, Gabe. And I want to start with this game against the Portland Trailblazers. Was it a good loss or was it a bad loss?
Bad loss.
What's your split on the All-Star game?
I'm going 153-143 East.
Okay, well, Team LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is much lower. There's going to be some defense played in this game.
Well, we'll see. I'm guessing, I'm banking on not as many threes.
Yeah. Do the Warriors end the season with the number one overall seed?
Yes.
Do the Rockets end the season with the number two overall seed?
Yes.
How many games will separate the Rockets and the Warriors?
I'm going to go with three.
Wow. All right, so the Rockets are going to lose some games.
Definitely.
All right, let's hope so. And that is about as far as we can go today. Thanks for listening. You can catch this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Android, Google Play. Is that the same thing? I think it probably is. Spotify and LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. I'll be back tomorrow recording from Los Angeles, so I'll keep you posted on whatever cool stuff I see down there. And I will be recording a podcast on President's Day, so make sure you tune in for that one as well. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.